join ourselves together as we worship, singing a great song you know. We come into His presence tonight with praise and thanksgiving. Let's sing it together. Come into His presence with thanksgiving in your heart and give Him praise. Give Him praise. Come into His presence with thanksgiving in your heart. Your voice is raised. Your voice is raised. Give glory and honor and power unto Him, Jesus, the name above all names. Come into His presence. Sing it together. Come into His presence with thanksgiving in your heart. Your voice is raised. Your voice is raised. Come into His presence with thanksgiving in your heart. And voice is raised. Your voice is raised. Give glory and honor and power unto Him, Jesus, the name.
I'd like to welcome you this evening to our service. We will be recognizing five seniors this year, and they are a wonderful group. They worked very hard to get where they are. At this time, if our ushers will come, we'll go ahead and take our offering. Shall we pray?
Good evening. Before we celebrate with these high school graduates, the College and Career Department have had some graduations during this past year. They're not all centered around this month. It's been spread out, and I am extremely proud of this group, and it makes me more nervous every day to stand or sit with these intelligent people and try to proclaim the good news and know that they're just as smart, if not smarter, than I am. So it's a tough group to be a part of, but they're very gracious, and I'm thankful. The first we'd like to recognize tonight is Charlie Cox. He graduated December 2009 with a bachelor's of science in education from Georgia Southern University with a major in middle grades education. The second, Katie Hicks, who will graduate in just a few days from Georgia Southern University with a bachelor's degree in science and early childhood education. And I know I'm murdering these degrees, so you know what they are. And they'll count for you. The third is Brad Foskey, who graduated from Heart of Georgia Technical College with a certificate in electronics, and he works at Robins Air Force Base. And the last is John Spires, who graduated from Southeastern Technical College with a certificate in paramedics in March of 2010. And again, we are extremely proud of this group, and our congratulations to them.
At this time, I'd like to introduce our graduates to you. The first graduate is Dylan Gay. He said, "Miss Marquise, don't draw that out when you have me up there on that stage." I tried to think of all the things that came into my mind when I would initially think of each one of our seniors. And for Dylan, well, for all of them, it was hard to narrow it down to one thing. But Dylan was always the quiet sort most of the time. But he's got the cutest little grin. And when he throws that little grin on you, you just don't know if it's because he's being sweet or if he's being mischievous or if he's just trying to think of something to get into. But he's always very polite, and you can count on Dylan to be in Sunday school. He is always in Sunday school. Those are the things that I'll always think of when I think of Dylan Gay. Dylan is an honor graduate at West Lawrence High School. He has been on the honor roll throughout his high school years and is a member of Fellowship of Christian Athletes. He was a member of the Raiders football team his 9th through 11th grade years and lettered in his 10th and 11th grade year. He was also named a scholar athlete. He has been a member of the Raiders baseball team his 9th through 12th grade years. He was named best junior varsity offensive player his 9th and 10th grade year. He was named most improved player his 11th grade year and was named to the 3A All-Region second team. He's also a West Lawrence, he also set a West Lawrence record for the most pitched games in his 11th grade year, which was 15. He plans to attend Bruton Parker College and major in history and will play baseball for the Bruton Parker Barons. Dylan Mark Gates. Our next graduate is Brianna Henry. Now, when I think of Brianna, I think of several things. Anything you say to Brianna, I could probably have told her one day she had on the ugliest dress I'd ever seen, and she'd just sit there and smile at me. But she's also the girl of many hairdos. Every Sunday, she'd have a different hairdo. We loved it. One of my favorites is when she wears it up and everything's sticking up back here. But she's always the cutest thing, and she always has different hairdos. Y'all watch her. Every Sunday, she'll have a different hairdo. Several people would say, I don't know who Brianna is. And I'd say, well, I can't tell you what her hair looks like because it's always different. But she sits in the back with me. Brianna has been a member of the West Lawrence Dance Line for 4 years. She was captain for the 2009-2010 Dance Line. She was an FFA member for 1 year and prom club member for 2 years. Her future plans include attending college at Middle Georgia Dublin Center for 2 years, then transferring to Georgia Southern University to pursue a career in pediatric nursing. Brianna Danielle Henry. Our next graduate is Katie Mosley. Now, Katie, when you think of her, when she walks into the room, everybody just kind of sits up and takes note. She has the sweetest personality, and she always lights up a room whenever she walks in. And we always have one show-off every year. So it'll take me just a minute. Katie is a member, or was a member, her 9th, 10th, and 11th grade years of Future Farmers of America. In her 9th grade year, she was a member of the Art Club. 10th and 11th and 12th grade, she was a member of Beta Club. 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, she was a member of Anchor Club. 9th and 10th grade, she was a member of Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Her 12th grade year, she was on the yearbook staff, and she was also a member of Lawrence Youth Leadership. She represented her school in the RISA Writing Contest in her 9th grade year. She was in the Governor's Honor Program in her 10th grade year. She was on the Homecoming Court her 10th and 12th grade years. She was in one-act play her 11th and 12th grade years, literary competition, dramatic monologue, 12th grade year, and she placed fourth in the region. She was on the prom court her 12th grade year. Her academic achievements are, in her 9th grade year, she had the highest average in literature. Her 10th grade year, she had the highest average in U.S. history. Her 11th grade year, she had the highest average in American literature, and she had the highest average in honors trigonometry. Can you imagine that? She had the overall highest average for her grade in 9th and 10th grades. She is an honor roll student her 9th through 12th grade years. She's valedictorian of her class this year. She played tennis her 9th and 10th grade years. She has over 50 volunteer hours for Anchor Club. During the summer of 2009, she shadowed and volunteered at Bass Therapy. She was a member of Lawrence Youth Leadership. She feels that has been a great opportunity to give back to her community in helping with Habitat for Humanity and the Leprechaun Road Race. She has over 200 other service hours for activities such as church volunteer and visiting and assisting elderly in the nursing homes. This is Caitlin Elizabeth Mosley. C.G. Parrish. Now, CJ and I spent a lot of time together in a car. I found that it was a great place to give her any kind of words of wisdom or advice, or she calls them lectures, that I needed to give her at the time. And not too long ago, we were riding down the road, and I was just yakking at her. And she said, "Miss Marquita, I think I'm going to jump out." So I figured if she felt like that about the subject we were talking about, that she really needed to hear it. So I just kept on talking. CG was a member of FCCLA. She was a member of FCA. She was a member of ECE, which is Early Childhood Educators Club, in her 12th grade year. She was a mentor to the 9th graders in her 12th grade year, and she was a mentor to special needs juniors in her 12th grade year. She was a mentor to 8th graders in her 11th grade year. She won the Spirit Award in her 10th grade year for quizzing, the highest honor you can get for quizzing. She received a Georgia District Quiz Award, 15th place, her 7th grade year. She received the Georgia District Quiz Award, 9th place in her 10th grade year. She received the Georgia District Quiz Award, 6th place in her 12th grade year. And she has many, many other quiz awards. I'm sure she could line a 10-mile shelf with quiz awards. She plans to attend Tribeca Nazarene University in the fall. We wish her the best. This is C.G. Viola Parrish. John Paul Shepherd. I have a reputation at Dublin First for having the worst boys on the district. And I always find whoever their counselor is going to be, and I tell them ahead of time that I'm sorry. One year we went to Youth Quake, and they told me who the counselor would be, and I looked at him, and I thought, oh my goodness, he was a very elderly man. So I went to him, and I told him, I said, if you need me throughout the night, I'll be staying such and such room. You can just come and get me. I'll come over. And we never saw that man again as counselor. That was his first and last event. But guys, this year, when we went to TNT, when I went up to the little guy and said, "I'm Marquita, I know who you are," he says, "You have Dublin boys." He looked at me and I said, "But don't worry, John Paul's not in your room. You won't have any trouble with the guys that you have." So I'm hoping with these new boys that are coming in, we'll lose the reputation. But with John Paul, you never knew what he was going to do. He was always up to something. The best way to describe him is T-R-O-U-B-L-E. Now, John Paul. For 3 years, he was in Fellowship of Christian Athletes. 6 years, he was in the band. 5 years, he was on the golf team. 4 years, he was on the football team. 2 years, he was in drama. 6 years, he was Georgia District first place male vocal soloist. 1 year at TNT, John Paul placed third. We thought we were going to have to bury him that year. But 5 years, he placed first on the region at TNT for male vocal solo. John Paul's breaking my heart. He's planning to go to the Army, and then he wants to go to Tribeca and major in music and music technology. This is John Paul Shepherd. Now, before our video, I just want to say, have you ever had a week when everything in the world that you touched or everything that could go wrong went wrong? I've had one of those weeks, and this video is no exception. When we previewed it last night, it was late, so we didn't have any time to do anything about it or get it changed. But they are going to change it for us. Our videographer had a new girl helping him, and she didn't realize that she was not supposed to put on the video the announcement of the letters. So before each senior's letters, it has, "This is the letter for Dylan Gay," and "This is the letter for Katie Mosley," and on down the line, that kind of thing. But we are going to have that changed. Everybody will get a new video. I put the copies that we made out on the table for them, but everyone will get a new video. So just wanted you guys to know that before you looked at the video.
This letter is for Dylan Gay. Dear Dylan, where has all the time gone? It seems like just yesterday we were bringing our new baby boy home from the hospital, and now here you are about to graduate from high school. It has been a great 18 years. Even though it's a little sad our little boy is all grown up, our hearts swell with pride at the young man you have become. You made our family so much more complete 18 years ago, and how you've wanted to follow in your daddy's footsteps since the time you could walk. You have inherited his love for the outdoors and have wanted to be in the woods or on a pond for as long as I can remember. It's always been your mom you run to when something was wrong or when you had plans, and it didn't take you long to realize who you had wrapped around your finger. Your sense of humor, which we say you got from your granddaddy, has kept us on our toes. Most people who don't know you think you're quiet and reserved, but how that opinion changes after they've been around you for any length of time. You're such a good friend to all your friends. I've told so many people that you're a good friend to have, and I think that's why so many have confidence in you, because they know you're one that can be trusted. You're about to embark on the next chapter of your life. Remember how much we love you and that we're always just a phone call away. Keep putting God first, because He can make something so special out of your life. We're thankful that you chose a Christian college and are excited to be able to watch you continue your baseball career. Thank you for being a son that has never caused trouble and that for being a good role model for your younger brother. Whether we like it or not, you are a man now and a gifted athlete that so many youngsters can look up to. We take great pride in the fact that they see a young man of character and integrity. When you were born, we took to heart Proverbs 22:6, which reads, "Raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Even now, we trust God to keep you in the way He has ordained for your life to be. We love you and thank God for you every day. Love, Mama and Daddy. Dear Dylan, congratulations on your graduating from high school. These years with you have been great, and you have always been a good brother. I can't believe you're already graduating, but I'm extremely proud of you. Remember to always put God first and keep working hard, and a lot of good things will happen to you. You're very smart and an athletic guy, and I'm sure you will succeed in whatever you set your mind to do. I want you to know I'm always here for you, and I'm only a phone call away or a text away. I will miss you and keep you in my prayers. Love, your brother Miles. Live near us all your life. We've tried to live and conduct our lives in a manner to be an example for you. You are about to gain a freedom and independence not previously known. Someone has said character is what and who you are when no one is looking. Your parents will not be as close by as they have been in the past. You will now have to make some decisions on your own. When that time comes, please remember all you have been taught. Remember God's Word is a map for your future. Read the Word every day and let it guide your life. Be a leader. Don't compromise your principles for anyone. They will respect you for it. Remember, you're responsible to pass on to the next generation what you have learned. Our love grows for you every day. Always remember we are available anytime, day or night, and are as close as your phone. We will not get so old that we're not interested in anything that affects your life. We love you more than you'll ever know, Granny and Granddaddy. P.S. You better come to see us in our old age, for we'll come looking for you. This letter is from Brianna Danielle Henry. Dear Brianna, our sweet blue-eyed girl, we can hardly believe that this season in your life is coming to a close. For 18 years, we have felt so blessed to see you grow into the beautiful young woman you have become. All the times we watched you dance, supported you in your goals, helped you study for school, and wiped your tears when the world wasn't quite fair, were sometimes challenging for us both. Mostly, they were joyous times. We know that as more seasons come, you will make choices that may not be our choices for you. That is what will make you the person that you will become in life. But please know you will always be loved by your dad and me. You're a strong-willed person with lots of ambition. We know you will always strive to become the best you can be. There will be the rocky roads and steep hills to climb as you mature into a young woman. There will also be happy and sad days. But remember the Lord, your Savior, beside you through all the days of your life. Through good and bad, He will love you. Keep trusting in Him, and His guidance and strength will get you through everything in your life. Our prayer for you, my dearest Brianna, is to be happy, have a great life, and always keep God first. We love you dearly, Mama, Daddy, Jared, and Charlie. This letter is for Katie Mosley. Dear Katie, flashback, April 20th, 1992. Yesterday was Easter Sunday, and we celebrated our risen Savior with sunrise service and family gatherings. Of course, your mother celebrated Easter in a beautiful blue pup tent and fashionable bedroom shoes. Today is another glorious spring day, and we as family celebrate another one of God's gifts, the gift of life. The gift of you being born into our family. Now fast forward to May 2nd, 2010. 18 years, And here we are this afternoon, once again with family and friends in God's house celebrating. You are among those being honored today for high school graduation, and it is a happy day for you and your family. In just a few short days, you will walk onto the stage at East Lawrence High School, deliver your valedictorian speech, and accept a well-earned diploma. You probably see this as an end and as a beginning. To be honest, it's just a bridge that will connect where you have been and what you have already done to where you will go and what you will do. God has already mapped out the path for you to take. Your map won't look like your friends' maps, but that's okay because the master cartographer has designed one just for you, and there's no better course. As your family, we have a few memories and words of encouragement we would like to share. We decided to focus on your good points and strengths, since this will be read by others. We didn't think this was the time to tell them that you once changed your name to Sparkles, or that you thought you really could plant Skittles and get a rainbow. Because that was during your junior year, and you're all grown up now. As your daddy is fond of saying, you have been full of surprises from the get-go. With two wonderful, energetic little boys, mom back in college and dad working hard, we could not have imagined that God did not feel that our lives were full and complete. That is because we had not met you yet. From that initial surprise to each subsequent one, and believe me, there have been many surprises in raising you, we have learned that God really does know best what we need in our lives. You accepted Jesus as your Savior as a young child, and you have walked with Him several years now. You know that our lives get hectic and we can tend to focus on things that really are so temporary. We remind you to keep your eyes on Jesus because He is the author and finisher of your faith. You have had so many wonderful opportunities to witness the powerful presence of God. Remember that just as God has already designed the path that you're to take, He has also already ordained your body to be a vessel for Him and your life to be a testimony of His goodness. Like a butterfly, you fly from person to person bringing joy. Your intelligence and wit make smiles on the faces of others. You demonstrate love, compassion, kindness, and courtesy to people of all ages and from all walks of life. In doing so, you are fulfilling what you were created to do, which is to effectively witness about the Christ who lives in you and through you. Being a classy Christian will never go out of style. Beautiful on the inside, beautiful on the outside, you are our one and only Katie. We, your family, love you very, very much and are very proud of you. Love Mama, Daddy, Matt, Natalie, Michael, Holly, Mama and Papa Spivey, Mama Mosley Pickett, and Bebop and all of your family.
I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna shout, I'm gonna let the reason out that his love goes on forever. I'm gonna take it all the way.
This letter is for John Paul Shepherd. John Paul, this will not be your typical congratulations or I'm proud of you letter. While I wish to say both, this is foremost a thank you letter. You see, there are three major events in my life that you in some fashion were instrumental in making happen. First, you saved my life. At a time when I felt I had nothing to live for, you came along and gave me a reason to live. You gave me the courage to leave a dangerous and abusive lifestyle that ultimately would have been my demise. Thank you. Secondly, you helped to bring me back to my Savior. While trying to be a good mother, I decided you needed a religious upbringing. Because I felt you needed religion, I found my way back to the Lord. For that, I am truly thankful. Finally, you helped to complete our family. Had it not been for an unfortunate head-on collision between you and a certain kneecap, I might never have met your dad. So remember when you're arguing with your sister, if you had not been such a clumsy two-year-old, she wouldn't have even been here. In other words, it's all your fault. As you grow now to become a man, I do not pray for your success or riches. I pray that you will find the little blessings in life. I pray that you will always find something to be thankful for, and that you will always be thankful for what you have, as I am truly thankful for you. Thank you with all my love, Mama. Dear Johnny, congratulations for graduating high school. We love you, big brother, Chrissy and Stanley Chris. Dear John Paul, to my first grandchild, who has brought me nothing but joy from the day of his birth, I love you with all my heart. I wish for you success in life, joy in life, peace in life, and a never-ending faith in God above. I could not be more proud of you than I am at this time in your life. You are my heart, Mimi. Johnny, you are about to enter a new chapter of your life that will no doubt offer you choices and challenges much like your past 17 years have. However, you'll be on a different playing field. It's been an awesome experience for me to see you grow from a little boy into a fine young man and to see you using your talents in a positive way. It's my prayer that you will continue to do it and allow God to lead and direct your path. I've held to that scripture, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, that says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all things acknowledge Him and He will direct your path." Allow Him to do that. And he will. As I think back across the years, I recall the many things we've done together. A few have been lots of fun and some not so much. How about the time I took you deer hunting in the box blind behind the house? You were 3 or 4 at the time, so I checked the blind for safety, all except under the seat where the big red wasps like to build their nest.
Ooh-wee! Ouch!
7 times, I think, was the final count. Then a few years later, we hunted on opening day and you killed your first deer. I was so excited for you. Then we discovered hunting wasn't really your thing, and that's okay. I want you to be you. I also recall the many times we would have our afternoon fighting matches. You would come in from school and wake me up after working on the night shift. Then the battle would begin. It was lots of fun to see you going over the side of the bed, and you loved it. How about our first camp out in Milledgeville at the lake with the men from the church? Remember that? I guess a couple of things have made me most proud. Remember when the church conducted a Bible school in the neighborhood in East Dublin? Well, I observed you as you witnessed with the witness cube to one of the children that was there. I saw God using you. And I've seen Him use you through your music, so sing on, son, sing on. But I was probably the most proud when you decided to take my name. I know it made your granddaddy very proud. With all this, remember life offers a lot of good times and bad times, but keep your head on straight, focus on God, and always consider others. I love you, son. Dad.
I've heard it said that love is blind. It's never afraid. It's patient and kind. I've heard it said, love's all you need. And that it's so many splendor thing. I've heard people sing of love at first sight, of how it's so wrong and how it's so right. It lifts you up, it lets you down. Oh, but I have found love is a cross, and love let it be, and love is saving you, and love is saving me. The blood and the nails, a body so bruised, a holy heart was broken. That's how he chose to prove that love is a cross. I've read that love is just a myth. It's only a crutch. It doesn't exist. It's something the world cannot achieve. Oh, but I believe that love is a cross, and love let it be, and love is saving you, and love is saving me. The blood and the nails, a body so bruised, a holy heart was broken. That's how he chose to prove that love is a cross. Peace is like a rushing river, hope is paradise, and joy's an overflowing fountain. Love paid the price. And love is a cross, and love let it be, and love is saving you, and love is saving me. The blood and the nails, a body so bruised, a holy heart was broken. That's how he chose to prove that love is a cross. That love is a cross. The blood and the nails, a body so bruised, a holy heart was broken. That's how he chose to prove that love is a cross. That love is a cross. That love is a cross.
I pray for you that through your life that you will be obedient. And I've asked Brandon Foskey to speak to you guys tonight because probably since around his junior year in high school, I have watched the Lord lead him, and it hasn't been a straight line from where he was then to where he is now. God has led him in many different directions and in many different areas. And I just wanted him to share a little bit of that with you guys tonight.
Y'all hear me? Can you hear me all right? Good evening. Yeah, Ms. Marquise is right. Ever since I graduated high school, it definitely has not been a straight line. It's been anything but that. But I'm here to share with you a little bit tonight about my story. When Ms. Marquise asked me to do this, I sat down to try and figure out what I was going to say, and I kept coming up with questions like, you know, what does obedience truly look like? Because I definitely didn't have it down. Does God have a predetermined blueprint that I'm supposed to follow? Is there a cutout path that was predestined for me? And so these kind of questions are something that I'm going to try and provide some sort of answer to at the end, after I sort of tell my story. So 7 years ago, I sat right there. I came up here and I stood with a nervous smile on my face as Ms. Marquita read off all the stuff. And, I stood up here and did all the graduation ceremony. And I had the same questions going through my mind that you probably do right now. Am I making the right choices? Am I going to the right college? Am I majoring in the right thing? Is this really what God wants me to do? You know, am I really fulfilling my potential? I had looked at going into Trevecca. I thought I'm a pretty decent Nazarene. I should look at going into the Nazarene University, right? So I'll go look at Trevecca, and for some reason it just didn't seem to fit. I didn't really feel at home there for whatever reason. It's a great university. I'm not saying anything bad about it, but I went to Georgia Tech instead. I remember sitting in the admissions office on the day that I visited there, my first day on campus. And I remember sitting there across from, my mom was there and the academic advisor was there, and I just said, this just feels right. I don't know why. But God was going to show me why soon enough. I majored in meteorology. Has nothing to do with anything that I'm doing right now, but that is what I majored in. I'll get to that a little later. I got placed randomly with a guy from Jacksonville, Florida, just a random roommate. I didn't know anybody else at Tech, so they stuck me with this guy. He was very, very social person, and I'm tend to be more introverted. He's more out there with, and so he kept inviting me to this campus ministry called Christian Campus Fellowship, and some of you have heard about it. I've stood up here and talked about it before, but he kept inviting me and inviting me and inviting me, and I kept saying no, too many people, I don't know anybody. I'm not exactly a social butterfly, in case y'all don't know me. I tend not to kind of be a little shy until I get to know you. But I just went to get him to quit inviting me. So I went, gave it a shot. First night I was there, they asked me to become part of a leadership group, and I didn't even know what. I was like, sure, okay. So I went, kept getting involved in more stuff. And one night when I was going there, they had these flyers out to go to go overseas and help lead a college ministry in another country. I picked up the flyer. It was to Thailand. I was like, well, this is pretty far away. It's pretty exotic. Nothing like Dublin, Georgia. I'll apply, see what happens. I applied and got accepted. And within, I think it was 3 or 4 months, I was on a plane to Thailand to participate in a college ministry for 6 months. And it was during that time helping plan Bible studies for the Thai students, helping do outreach on the university campus, that I really began to feel a call on my life to go into full-time ministry. And looking back on it, I think, well, you know, God could have sent me to Trevecca and I could have gotten this call that way, but He chose to send me to Georgia Tech, and then I got a call there through a ministry that I never expected to get it from. And doing something that I never thought I would do. When I got to college, I said, I'll never study abroad. I like Georgia a little too much. But lo and behold, I did. And I loved it. And it was through that ministry, that time in Thailand, that I began to sense God calling me into full-time ministry. And when I got back to the States, you know, there was a little bit of a problem. I was halfway through with a degree for meteorology. And I was like, well, God, what do you want me to do with this? I guess I'll just keep going, you know, and finish out my degree and see what happens then. So as I got back to the States and got back into classes and got back into the swing of things, the call kind of diminished, but it never fully went away. So I kept going. I graduated and everything. And, you know, I graduated from college 2 years ago. I was on the five-year plan. And then I was left wondering, well, what should I do with my life now? I set out to find a job in meteorology. At the time, I was engaged to be married. You know, it seems like everything was going perfect for me. I was, I got a job right out of college. I got a job in environmental consulting. If you ever look at those on the news of those hazardous materials guys and the full jumpsuit, moonsuit type deals and everything else, that was me. We cleaned up all kinds of nasty stuff. I got to walk around in the landfill. That's fun, yeah. So that was what I got a job doing. And then about a month after I graduated, everything just kind of fell apart. The job ended up being not exactly what I had hoped it would be. It had nothing to do with what I had majored in. It kept me on the road constantly. I wasn't able to find a consistent church home. I didn't go to church because I was hardly ever at home. I didn't have that crucial accountability, that crucial community and everything that I had when I came to church here and when I had it when I went to college at the campus ministry I was involved in there. I lost all that. I was by myself pretty much. I've never felt so alone as I did for that year and a half there. The compound problems, my engagement fell apart. I was at a low point. I never thought that I could feel that way, but I was pretty low. But looking back, I think, you know, God never left my side. I remember one specific instance. I really want to share this with y'all because this was just incredible. At one of my work sites, I got sent out of town all the time, and one of my work sites was in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. I don't know if anybody knows where that's at. It's up near Knoxville. It's up in the mountains. Pretty country. But I was at this work site. I was sitting in a work trailer all day by myself. Literally one night, I left the work site to go order dinner, and when I ordered dinner, I realized those were the first words I've said all day long. I literally sat in a trailer all day by myself, and so I watched a lot of. I didn't really have much to do. The job site was pretty easy, so I watched a lot of YouTube videos. And y'all don't tell my boss. It's all right. So anyway, I stumbled across this YouTube video, and it was a song. It was a music video by a Christian artist. His name is Bebo Norman. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of him. He's a great songwriter. Y'all should really get to know him if you don't. But anyway, the name of the song was called "I Will Lift My Eyes," and when it got to the chorus, the first line of the chorus was, "I will lift my eyes to the maker of those mountains that I can't climb." And at that point in my life, I felt like I was struggling to get up that mountain. And I lost it, y'all. I broke down into some more kind of crying that day. And then sitting there, I listened to the song 3 or 4 times before I could calm myself down. And, I cleaned myself up and, you know, like, I'll just tell people I had something in my contact lens. It'll be all right. I'll walk outside and go to lunch. And so I get in the car and I get ready to go to lunch. I turn on the radio. They come back from a commercial break, and that is the song that they play. "I Will Lift My Eyes." I had never heard the song before, and there I'd heard it twice in 10 minutes. I had to pull the car over. It was one of those moments where God was so tangible to me. And it was one of those points where he was saying that, you know, "I'm here." And that was over a year and a half ago. That was, I think it was January of last year. But it didn't, you know, those moments were there. They didn't happen all the time. They weren't constant, but they were there. So that didn't mean that everything was easy. There were definitely nights where I, you know, shook my fist at the ceiling. There were definitely nights where I was honest with God. I said, "I don't understand why, you know, I would go through 5 years of school to have a job that I can't stand, and you know, to be engaged to someone and then not have that work out. I don't understand." But he was helping me, and soon enough, I did understand. So, this past summer, I figured it was time to make a change. It was time to start. I still had that inkling in the back of my mind that maybe you should go into full-time ministry. Some of you remember I stood up here last May or sometime about a year ago and told you that I was planning on going back to Thailand. But through several situations, that did not work out yet. It may happen sometime in the future. But I still had that desire. I wanted to do full-time ministry, and I wanted to do to do it now. I didn't want to wait around anymore. I didn't want to spend any more time in this particular path. So I started. I wrote a letter to God. I actually wrote a real letter, and I wish I had brought it. I actually forgot it. It's in my apartment in Atlanta. But basically, the gist of it was, God, I've been driven to the edge of belief and back for the past 2 years. Whatever your plan for me is, I want to follow that. I want to be in full-time ministry. However you want to get me there, that is what I want to do. So later that same day, I came across Mercer University's seminary webpage. I called them. This is in August. This is last August. 2 or 3 weeks before they start classes. I haven't even applied yet. I just stumbled across their webpage, you know, today. And I called them up and I said, hey, I'm looking at applying to start seminary in January, because I know you guys have probably already started your application process and everything, and I probably can't get in right now. He's like, no, send in your application, we'll get you in. Get in your letters of reference, and we'll make sure that you get in for fall classes. I said, all right, you start classes in 2 weeks, right? He said, yeah, don't worry about it, we'll get you in. I said, okay. So the whole process goes through, and I get in. And then I call him up and I said, I start wondering, how am I going to pay for all this? It's a lot of money, and I'm not rich by any means. How am I going to pay for all this stuff? Well, I call him up again and I said, I kind of need some financial aid. If you guys have any laying around, just a couple thousand dollars here or there. And he said, well, we've already handed out most of our scholarships since the semester was about to start. And I said, well, sure, okay, I understand that. He said, but I'll see what I can do. So a few days later, he calls me up and he says, we've got you half tuition scholarship to go. So we'd still love to have you come. That was enough. I went and turned in my 2 weeks notice to my job because I figured, I'd probably have to quit my job. And my boss said, well, if you'd like to stay on with us part-time, we can give you some part-time work, and that would help you pay for your bills. So all the time, God was looking out for me financially as well. He said, all right, you need the money. Here's a half-tuition scholarship. You need the money. Here's a part-time job. It's just incredible how everything fell into place. So over the course of 2 weeks, literally 2 weeks, I went from being a full-time, paid employee of the federal government, living the American dream, to a full-time college student again, and living on a college student budget again, but studying something I really wanted to do, studying international missions, and with a plan to go into full-time ministry. And God has just kept the doors opening over the past year. He's opened doors for me to be involved in ministry outside of school. The Bible quizzing, teen Bible quizzing ministry is something that's huge, and God just keeps opening doors there. I could sit here and talk for an hour about all the stuff that He's doing through teen Bible quizzing. You guys can just come talk to me later. I go to church at Grace Point Church of the Nazarene in Atlanta. I'm sure some of you have heard about it. And, I've gotten involved with the youth group there. Being a youth worker is tiring at times, but it's incredible too. And God just keeps opening doors. And, over the past weeks, I was worried about what I was going to do because in the summer, I wasn't going to be taking classes this summer coming up, and so my job was going to go back to full-time, and I was afraid I was going to be traveling all over the place again. And then I wouldn't be able to be involved in the youth group at Grace Point. I wouldn't be able to be involved in teen Bible quizzing as much over the summer. And so, anyway, a couple weeks ago, I got an email randomly out of the blue that said, if you need a job for the summer, give us a call. It was from an old professor at Georgia Tech. It'll allow me to stay in town so that I can be involved in all those ministries that I've gotten involved in, and at the same time, have enough to make ends meet. And it's just incredible. So, I stand here tonight and I'm speechless trying to explain this to y'all because I don't really understand, how I could go from doubting God so much back when I graduated to now where it just seems like God keeps opening doors and opening doors and to things that I never thought I would do. Never thought I would do. I didn't get that call until I went to college. I didn't get that call into full-time ministry. I didn't think I could do it. I was like, I'm not cut out to be a pastor. I'm not cut out to be a missionary. That's, you know, for somebody else to do. And, you know, who knows what God's going to do in the future? I mean, He may lead me some other way, but I want to get back to those first couple of questions I asked you at the beginning. You know, what is obedience really? Does God give us a blueprint and say, all right, this is exactly what you're supposed to do. Follow it. Are we walking around in a maze until we find the correct path that leads to the center? You know, I'd like to think not, but I was thinking about this. I looked at Matthew 22, where an expert in the law asked Jesus, you know, what should we do? How should we ask what is the greatest commandment? In other words, how can I be obedient? How can we be obedient? And he was trying to trick him at the time, but in essence, the question is, how can I be obedient? Jesus responded, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love. It's as simple as that. That is what obedience is. It's grounded in love. And, you know, how do we know what love is? Well, 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for our brothers. John 15:13, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Now, I'm not saying that you should go out and find something to die for. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that finding something to lay down your life for, lay down your life for God, lay down your life for others. I think laying down your life and dying for something are two completely different things. And in some instances, they are synonymous, as was the case for Jesus. But laying down your life, in some instances, I think it's harder to lay down your life for something than it is to die for something. Laying down your life is a lifetime commitment. It's saying, I will lay aside my desires. I will put myself second. So, that doesn't mean going out and dying for something, like I said, but the selflessness of the commandment is clear. We are to love God first, love our neighbor second. And that's what true obedience is. Wherever that takes you, if that takes you into corporate America, let it take you into corporate America. If that takes you into the mission field, let it take you into the mission field. But whatever decision you are faced with, love your neighbor, love God, love your neighbor, love God. It'll often require us to make decisions that don't make sense. Let me tell you, when I decided when the engagement was broken, back when I first graduated, when I first got that job, that did not make sense. It didn't make sense. I spent many sleepless nights wondering why in the world. And then sometimes the decisions are easy. Sometimes things keep falling into place and it's just easy to keep walking. Like in the case when I started applying to Mercer, things just kept falling into place. I was like, well, all right. The decisions won't always be easy. They won't always be difficult. But God doesn't have a plan. You know, He says, love your neighbor. Love me, love your neighbor. Whatever that looks like, just do that. The rest of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So, I want to leave you with that. Be humble, be selfless. Whatever your decisions, whatever your future holds, don't be afraid to change your plans, because they just might change. I love you guys, and I wish you all the best. Thanks.
At this time, we'll have our prayer around the altar. If our seniors would come and take a place, there are five separate little sections, so if each one will take a section, and then your family and friends can stand behind you. And Pastor Wise is going to say a prayer for each one of you.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your blessings upon Katie Mosley. I thank you for her hugs, her warmth, her love for all people so freely expressed, and that bright mind. We celebrate her accomplishment as valedictorian of her class. That bright mind combined with such a warm spirit, what a powerful combination for God and good. Father, please continue to channel and guide her life according to your perfect plan. And give her the courage and grace to say yes to you at every point, every minute of her life. And thus, through her, you will continue to bless the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, we thank you for this milestone of accomplishment in John Paul's life. This young man possesses amazing giftedness as a singer. If we took a vote here tonight on it, it'd be unanimous. He's a natural. It's a gift from God. Lord, may it always be humbly laid at your feet. We also celebrate his accomplishments in sports, first string starter in football. And then there's the rich Christian heritage. He's been blessed in so many ways. He is openly seeking your guidance and your will for his life. Work it out for him, Lord, and make it clear. And we trust you to open the right doors and close the wrong doors. Give John Paul your very best, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We pray for C.G. Parrish. We thank you for her big, warm smile. We thank you for her faithfulness to the means of grace. She has sought to love you, Father, and she has loved our family, the people of the church. She's one of our most familiar faces around here. Now, Lord, give CG a rich future, we pray, of continued happiness in doing your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for Brianna Henry, this sweet young lady. We're so thankful that she's a part of our church congregation. We thank you for bringing Brianna safe and well to this point of accomplishment in her life. We celebrate with her. Lord, make her aware in a fresh new way of your interest in her welfare and happiness.